scripture from James 3, verses 1-12. Before I start and actually say what I want to say, you'll get the gist of it by this verse anyway, these verses. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, it might be, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And I just want to talk, it was on my heart a while back to talk about what we say, what we speak, how we speak it. And I'm equally as guilty of saying things and not thinking about what I say. And the tongue is such a powerful, powerful weapon that we need to use rightly, correctly. If it's not used in the right way, then it can do such a lot of damage. And that's what I want to, you know, speak on today. And there's the spoken word, there's the written word, there's the hearing word, and I believe the unspoken word. And in John 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And I just checked in my concordance, in my study Bible, and the Greeks use this term not only of the spoken word, but of the unspoken word, the word still in the mind, the reason. And you know, what's in our mind and what's in our hearts comes out of our mouths. And words can make us feel happy, they can encourage us, they can uplift us, or they can make us feel sad, worthless and negative. And I've just sort of broken down, sort of the spoken word comes to us from parents, siblings, teachers, friends, colleagues, bosses, preachers, professional people, and many more. And these people have a big influence on our lives, from being really small, little, like my grandson William. Really, you know, what you say can have a big influence. But I'm going to come back to the spoken word in a minute. The written word comes in forms of newspapers, magazines, books, comics. It's in large print, small print, easy to read print, hard to read, important words, frivolous words, love words, passionate words, all sorts of words, you know, and you read and it can make you feel, when you're reading them, good or bad, uplifted, romantic. And again, all these words that we read make a great difference in our lives and help. And we also have a response sometimes when we read some of these words. We respond to what we read Often when we read good things, it makes us feel really good. When we read bad or sad things, and sometimes what we read is not right. Often in newspapers sometimes, you can read the same thing in three or four different newspapers, and they're totally different meanings, you know, and you can think, you know, well, that's not what they said in that newspaper, or that's not what he said in that newspaper. So, again, we have to sort of be careful in what we read. One of the things that struck me, as you know, members of the church know that I was brought up in care, and I got to an age when I was about 40 that I've decided to look up my parentage, if you like, and I had to get the reports that had been written from me being 18 months old to when I left at 16, and I was actually really quite upset with what I read, the way that the social workers had written, you know, Carol is, what was the word I was thinking of, disruptive. I was a lively person. Is that disruptive? No, like William, I was lively. I liked to say what I wanted to say and do what I wanted to do. Is that disruptive? But, you know, and I'd got children of my own at this point, and when I read these, the way that it had been written, it didn't upset me that I was learning about my parents. It upset me that people wrote what they wrote. And after it sort of, I worked in the care profession, and I vowed that any reports that I or the staff that I worked with had to write, they would write how they would want to read it, how they would want to read it about themselves. Because it just comes across really so impersonal, and it really did upset me. And I thought, who are they? They didn't know me. Who are they to write this? So, you know, what we read and what we write can make a big difference to people at any time, you know. And then there's the hearing word, which, you know, those who can hear, and obviously there's. We know there's lots of people who cannot hear, but the hearing word, the radio, the TV, CDs, personal iPods, all these things. Some of the things that you hear perhaps on the news, and you know what, you know, the news is all doom and gloom, and you just feel, oh. And Phil and I have had quite a few discussions about different things, and we end up getting into a really heated discussion about something that we hear that's. And then you hear the next day that it wasn't true or something like this. So we need to be careful what we listen to. CDs and I was going to say records, but that ages me a bit. But CDs and these personal iPods. Some of the music that you hear is awful. The words in some of the music that you listen to is awful. And I just think, you know, I'd rather not have anything to listen to if that's what I'm going to. And again, I often find the lyrics really quite offensive. And we need to be careful what we allow our children and grandchildren and nephews and nieces. We need to be careful what they let them listen to. Because, again, it can have quite an impact. And then, you know, I feel that the unspoken word, like somebody's talking to you and you're busy looking over, that doesn't make that person feel good. It makes them feel as if they're not worth anything if you're just ignoring them or a tut of disapproval anything. You know, it's unspoken, but it's a word. And we have to be really careful of you know, how we are when we're talking to people. So, but I actually want to speak on about the spoken word. And parents and adults have a big responsibility, particularly for the children. And we know that by the tone of voice, if we're being told off or being praised, and there's a different reaction, obviously. And obviously we have to tell people, our children particularly, we have to tell them, no, don't do that. But there's a way of being able to do it without it really affecting them. Without it affecting them all their lives sometimes. And I know people that have been affected by the way that their parents have spoken to them when they were children, and it just makes them feel so worthless. And an example that I have is my oldest granddaughter. She's very bright, and she's a bit of a live wire. And in her class, when she's finished her work, she's a little bit naughty, because then she starts talking to the other children that haven't. But her mum is often being brought into school because, you know, Emily's doing this and Emily's doing that and Emily's... And she's done her work, but if her mum hadn't gone in and sort of said, well, you know, you need to give her something a bit harder, or you need to let her do something else, she would have been sort of classed as disruptive and sent out. And you know, and she's not really, it's just that she's so bright that she's wanting more and more and more. And so we do have to be careful with our children, that that they're not being disobedient, but they're wanting to sort of explore more than we perhaps think that they should. I'm just going to read from Matthew 12. Verses 33-36. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything is good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. It's quite powerful that, our Lord is the judge of what we say, and how we say it often. And it's just amazing how much damage words can do. Again, as a child, there was myself and another girl in the school that had mixed race, and it was quite rare. Obviously, it was very rare, sort of in the early 50s. I can't remember how old I am, And we were bullied quite a lot because we had different skin colour. And I hated school. I hated it just for that. I didn't want to go to school. And I'm not saying that it actually affected the fact that I'm not very academic. But it just made me not want to go to school. And I was waiting for the next verbal attack. So I couldn't relax and I couldn't enjoy school at all. And it's so, it's so easy. And I think that as parents, particularly, we need to be aware of what our children are saying, and our children will say what they hear us say. Our children will use words that they hear us use, and unfortunately, when I'm out and about, particularly in the town that I came from in Huddersfield, I would hear some of the young mothers speaking atrociously to their children and around their children, and I wasn't surprised to hear some of the children come out with some of the things they said. It's such a big responsibility, and it starts with our children. We have a responsibility, and our grandchildren, because I know most of our children have grown up, but around our grandchildren we need to, and I for one am not backward in coming forward. If I hear my children saying things that they shouldn't say, I tell them. And they might not like it, but I tell them, because I just think it's not right. Don't I, Julie? we need to use words that are uplifting, encouraging, words that talk of peace, love, harmony. And if we're Christians and we're walking in the Word, we should be careful what comes out of our mouths. We should think before we open our mouths. And in Psalm 17, verse 3, the prayer of David, says, though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. And also in Psalm 37 verse 30 it says, "The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just." And, you know, sometimes you think, well, how can you be so holy and good and all this? And I'm not saying that we've got to lie if we don't like a situation, or turn a blind eye to a situation when we think something's wrong. But we do have to choose our words, and we do have to be respectful of how we say them. We do. And you know, it's not saying that, you know, oh, well, I'll just ignore it. Or, you know, we do have to stand up for what we believe. And if we're going to make a difference, we do have to sort of say, well, I'm not really very happy at the words that you're using. You know, is there another way you can say that? You know, we've got to sort of be accountable, if you like. And one of the things that made me think, and I was thinking about Esther, and in 4:15-16, when she had to stand up for the Jewish nation, and Mordecai, her uncle, was saying, you know, you've got to go to the king, you've got to, because otherwise we're all going to be wiped out. And, you know, when I was reading it, I mean, she sent a reply to Mordecai, "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for three days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." She was willing to, and I felt that, she, you know, she was fasting so that she knew the right way to go, the right words to say. And she was willing to perish if she had to do what she thought was right. And if we've got to pray and fast, then that's what we've got to do if there's something that's happened that we're not happy about. And she had to choose her words very carefully in the circumstances that she was in. And I just feel that, you know, we have to do, because we don't live in a perfect world, unfortunately. I mean, we will when we get to heaven, but, you know, we've got to live on this earth before then, haven't we? And in John 8:28-29, it says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And I think that's what we have to do. We have to do and speak what pleases the Father. Because he gave his Son for all of us to show us his love. So all we say and do should reflect the love of God. And by definition of the word love, our words can't be harsh or cruel or untrue even. And often, and it's a bit like Chinese whispers, when something gets said here, somebody else picks it up there, and somebody else, and it's totally different when it comes out the other side, if you like. And it can gain momentum. And that can be so devastating to the person that hears it at the other end. You know, and we shouldn't go down that way. It you know, we shouldn't gossip and we shouldn't tell lies, and we shouldn't, you know, whisper in corners or anything like this. We should be open and upfront, and what we say, we should be prepared for everybody to hear. Everybody. You know, so if I say something to Julia, I shouldn't be sort of saying, "Julia, you know, I should be able to say it." So, and if I was saying something about somebody, it should be an uplifting thing, not a pulling down thing. We shouldn't have to hide behind what we're saying. And we are all responsible. Every single one of us in this room is responsible for what comes out of our mouths. And we need to use the words that we say. And I've written down here the word betterment. But I don't know if that's a proper word. I didn't look in the dictionary, but a betterment. It should be to better people. We should use words, you know, and we shouldn't sort of diss people, if you like. In Psalm 37, verse 13-31, "The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip." Our words need to be a tool of encouragement, of uplifting, of praise, of thankfulness. People take hold of what we say and how we say things. And again, in the world, people are so quick. You could say half an hour of real praiseworthy things and one sentence of something negative, and people remember that negative. They forget everything else you've said. They just remember that one little negative. And it's so easy, and they're so quick to pick up on negatives. So, you know, we have to ensure that everything they hear from us is good. Everything that comes out of our mouth. And if it's in our hearts, and that's the thing, what comes out of our hearts is what comes out of our mouths. And, you know, okay, that's great, Carol. Fine. But that's not the real world. We live in, you know, you're talking about sort of not a real world. We live in the real world. We live in a world that's doom and gloom everywhere, if you like. I mean, us Christians are not doing gloomy though, are we? We're all, you know, I wish. But, you know, doom and gloom is everywhere. I mean, there's all sorts of catastrophes happening in the world. And so, you know, and you soon get caught up with, well, have you heard this and have you heard that? But we are here to think, yes, well, you know, God is in control of what's going on in the world. And let's us make a difference. And let us show people that, you know, we can make a difference by being uplifted and by saying, yes, we know that this is happening, but also this is happening. And it's like, you know, in Haiti and some of the places that, you know, we're sort of affiliated with, if you like, that there is a lot going on that's not good. But there's people coming to the Lord through this. There is good coming out of it. And that's what we need to focus on. And in Proverbs 15, verse 1 to 4, says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but the deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And we need to start here. We need it to start so that this place that we're in oozes that much encouragement and support that people know we're not in a doom and gloom industry. We're in the positive, uplifting, cheerful way of life industry, that we have God with us that can help us through everything, and that will help us if we call on Him when we're feeling so beginning to get down. You know, Lord, I don't want to go in this day feeling doom and gloom. I want to go in this day feeling You're with me. I've got such a lot to be thankful for, and I'm going to bless the people that I see and that I meet. And if anybody comes to me with any doom and gloom, I pray for them, sing to them, tell them how much I love them, even though sometimes you think, but I'm going to just put that beside me and say, Lord, what comes out of my mouth, I want to be pleasing to You. Because He hears everything we say. So we need it to be pleasing to Him. We're all God's children. And He doesn't want us all to be talking to each other in a negative way. That's going to make Him sad. And that's not going to do any good for, you know, for Him and for our way of life. We're Christians. We've got to show that we're Christians. We've got to walk in the Christian way. And by what we say and what comes out of our mouth will help us do that. And it'll make us feel good. If we uplift somebody, if you say something good, if somebody smiles, if you smile at somebody and they smile back, it makes you feel good. And that's what we've got to do. It helps us as well. In Proverbs 16, verse 23-24, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and a healing to the bones. And sometimes, I would challenge you, because sometimes when I felt a bit there, and then somebody's perhaps rung me up, and I can tell that they're a bit flat, I find this extra energy, if you like, And I try and be so positive that by the time I've finished, I thought, oh, you know, that I feel good, that's good. And I've brought that person up as well. So, you know, that's why we need to be like we need to be, if you ask, why we need to be careful what we say. And sometimes as well, I was thinking, when I was sort of preparing this, I was thinking, we don't know why people say the things they do. We don't know. We can't even begin to guess, and we shouldn't. They may be going through a bad time themselves. They may be going through a difficult time. We don't know that. And they might not want to share it with us. But our response to what somebody says to us is our responsibility. So even if... And we then just have to just be charitable, if you like. We have to be, you know, Lord, I don't know what's going on and I didn't like what they said to me, but... You know, help me to give a right response. Help me to not make it worse for them. Because if we give a wrong response, we can make it worse for them. So if they're feeling bad, they're going to feel even worse. And so, you know, we don't know. And we need to think before we say it, because it can also make or break a relationship. And we're into the building up relationship business, if you like, not the breaking down relationship. And, you know, by responding and speaking in a positive, biblical Christian way, builds up our relationship with one another, which also then builds up the kingdom of God. And once a word is said, it cannot ever be unsaid. Once you've said the word, no matter how sorry you are after to a person, you've said it, because it obviously was in your heart to say. And you know, I've said lots of things to lots of people and then realised, oh, dearie me, I shouldn't have said that. And I'm almost grovelling for apology. But it's said, you know, and I can't suck it back in because it's said. So if we do say something without thinking, then it's straight away we need to sort of say, look, I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry. And sort it there and then, because otherwise that person will go away, fester about it, and it gets taken all out of context, and it's you know, the damage is really, really done. And we also need to own what we say. So, like, you know, whatever I'm saying now, if there's people that's not happy with what I'm saying, come and talk to me afterwards. I'm quite happy for you to. But I'm owning what I'm saying here. You know, I believe that God has sort of. I mean, I know that God has put this, because it's been on my heart now for a month or so, that I need to say something. But I'm owning what I'm saying. And I can't blame Julia or Cliff for what I'm saying, or anybody else, because it's my mouth that's speaking it, it's my tongue. It's coming from me, it's coming from my heart. So we need to own what we say, and not say, so-and-so made me say that, or so-and-so made me say that. No, it's your mouth, you're saying it. Nobody else. God didn't make us puppets for somebody else to pull the strings. He made us all individual. And he made us to be, walk like he wants us to walk. So we have to be responsible and take control of one of the most important parts of our body, which is the tongue. So, I just want to sort of finish. And I've looked at how, when we write words, we write positive words. When we listen to words that are pleasing to the ear. And what words we look at and we read should make us feel good. Not make us feel, we should never read that. So there should be, have a feel-good factor. And particularly the words that we speak, do they uplift and do they encourage? Because all these things have a knock-on effect of how we can be effective in God's house, how we can be effective for God, how we can win this area of Spain. And I just feel that if within the church, you know, our words are within each other, within the church, are such that we uplift. And people come in to the service and they see how, how we are with one another. you know, that's going to have a ripple effect as well. And people will go out and think, you know, I didn't hear any moaning. Because I've been to churches where there's been lots of backbiting and things like this. But God doesn't want that. He wants us all, I'm not saying he wants us to be false, but he, you know, if it's in our hearts, it won't be false. You know, if we believe what we're reading from the Bible, if we, you know, if we believe in God, then it won't be false. It will be what he's put in our hearts. And I just feel that we do get help if we're feeling not good by looking at his word. This is the best book you can ever read, his word, because, you know, it tells us how to live our lives in every way, as well as how we speak. And I just want to read the last scripture, which is Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that's what I pray for every one of us here. And I would just like to finish and pray just that for us all. Okay. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you've helped me through this, saying what I had to say, what you felt I had to say, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that may the words of all our mouths and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord. Because Father God, you are a perfect God. You are a loving God. You are a wonderful, marvelous, magnificent God. And Father, we just want to be pleasing to you. We want to build up your kingdom, O Lord. We want to honour one another. We want to speak honour to each other. We want to encourage one another. We want to uplift one another. And Lord, we need your help for that, Father God. So Father, I just thank you that you've given this word for me to bring, so that we can all just hear and go home and meditate on it and read your word on it, Lord, so that we can continue to do the work that you've set us to do, to bring people to you, Lord, and to bring praise to the lips of your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.